Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Oh, I've just realised the podcast's still in the oven. Oh, it's perfect. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
Oh, well done for saving the podcast there, Ed.
Phew, I thought I'd burnt it, James, but it turns out I'd done it really well again.
Ed Gamble and James Acaster here.
That's the gang. This is the podcast where we chat to a special guest about their dream meal, which features James.
Their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order.
Yummer, yummer, yummer. And our special guest today is the wonderful Joe Lycett. You all know Joe Lycett from all the stuff he's done. Wonderful comedian.
A national treasure.
A national treasure, a fantastic broadcaster. Just an absolute pleasure to have here.
And I'm very excited to hear his choices. I've heard him speak about food and drink on many TV shows. And he seems to be really into it, into his top picks.
He knows his stuff. So we are looking forward to speaking to him.
Although,
but, James.
Yes.
If he says... a secret ingredient that we have predetermined that we don't like, then unfortunately we'll be asking National Treasure Joe Lycett to leave the restaurant.
Is it a Christmassy secret ingredient, Ed?
Sort of, yes, because, James, this is a Christmas special.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Tidings of comfort and joy.
It's nearly Christmas. This is an extra episode. You thought the series was over. We said the series was over. Well, we're chucking you a secret special Christmas episode.
Yes, because you thought the series was over, but we rose like the dead, just like Jesus did at Christmas.
Yes. Happy Christmas. Happy Jesus.
Happy Jesus. Alive again.
Zombie Jesus. So, this is a Christmas episode. The secret ingredient is...
Red currants,
those little evil sour boys that appear on things raw, and they shouldn't be there. They don't add to flavour. If anything, they strip your mouth with acid.
They might look nice in the corners of a Christmas card.
They might do, yeah.
They don't feel nice on my tongue.
But you don't eat a Christmas card. So, Merry Christmas. Hopefully there's no red currants. We'll be asking Joe a specific Christmas-based question as well. Don't you worry. It will feel very festive. And I'm sure Benito will put some fun Christmas sound effects in this episode
as
well.
Do I hear sleigh bells? I think that's Joe Lycett arriving on his sleigh.
Joe... Welcome, Joe Lycett, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
There he is.
Welcome, Joe Lycett. We've been expecting you from since day one.
Were you?
Yes.
From day one?
Since
How many
day
of these
one.
Have you done there?
12 Days of Christmas.
That's not an answer to that question.
Huh?
That's not an answer to that question.
I'm just trying to instantly make it festive.
I believe this is episode 41. 41, this is 41. Episode 41.
Drummers, it's a beautiful drumming number, that. And since day one, you've been expecting me.
Yeah.
Since day one.
I'm late. I'm really late.
Well, no. I was expecting you today.
Oh, okay.
But I've just been expecting you for that amount of time. I was always expecting you.
Yeah, but you, James, knew I'd come on this, yes, specific date.
James is a genie, so when he says day one, he means the beginning of time.
Yes.
Ah.
I mean, the very, very beginning of time. If you want to ask what that was like, got any questions about what the beginning of time was like?
Yes. What was it like?
Good question.
Yes, it was mainly very gassy. So it wasn't.
Are you
much
sure
solids
about that?
Yeah. You're just gas.
So no solids or liquids?
No solids or liquids. I have invented those. I invented solids and liquids. Did people know that?
Did you?
A little bit of trivia.
Thanks for that. They're my two favourites.
Yes.
They are useful.
Here's a little bit of trivia as well. I invented liquids by accident when I was trying to invent solids.
Really? On your way to solids?
Yeah, couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
Real hard to firm it all up. And I was like, well, that'll be a thing as well. I'll put that to the side and bring it in later. And actually, it turns out liquids are everyone's favourite.
Are they?
Yeah. People love liquids.
Well, this is one of the new questions on the new format. Solids or liquids?
What's your favourite?
Probably liquids. Yeah.
I think I'm more of a solids guy.
Mm. Name one solid, and I'll tell you a liquid that's better than it.
Cheese.
Milk.
That could. Well, cheese could arguably be a liquid, couldn't it? If it's
a horrible cheese. Cheese whiz?
No, if it's like at a really nice temperature where it oozes, I would say that's...
But I think that's an oozy solid.
Okay, yeah.
Not a liquid.
Oozy solid is Ed's rap name?
Yeah.
Ed deliberately chose cheese because he knows it's my least favourite of all the solids anyway.
I'm trying to think of solids that are really like going to blow your mind.
That are great solids.
That are really good solids. Chocolate
milk.
No,
chocolate milk is not. Yeah,
chocolate milk is shit.
Yes, I regretted it as soon as I said it.
Yeah,
chocolate is great.
God, I didn't think it was that good an example, but
it's great. It is good. There's no liquid version of chocolate that is better than chocolate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Even that hot chocolate that is just liquid chocolate.
I used to confession when I used to be a child. Back in the day, back in the good old days of Joe Lycett, I used to come home from school and watch Deal or No Deal with a bowl of chocolate that I'd melted in the microwave and a cup of tea. Because what I really liked is I ate the chocolate with a spoon and then the texture in the mouth was very like, you know, that sort of like.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Then the Earl Grey tea, which I would have afterwards, was really refreshing.
That would wash the rest of it down.
Of course it was an Earl Grey.
Yeah,
it was an Earl Grey.
It sounds very much like, you know, that's someone who prefers his liquids to his solids there. Instantly melting down the chocolate.
Yeah.
If solid chocolate's so good, why was little Joe Lycett melting it up and then washing it down with another liquid on top of it?
Well, it was little Grey. Joe Lycett. I haven't done it as an adult. I've matured into understanding
what do you do now?
Solids are, you know, there's nuance.
A block of chocolate and some frozen Earl Grey. You're stuck in a big block of frozen Earl Grey afterwards.
How much chocolate would you melt down and put in a bowl?
Too much. Sort of one of those of dairy milk. How would you describe that in a size? Not a standard
like
bar.
Like a mid-size.
But not a massive one.
But not the massive one.
Not so a mid-size.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not a novelty one.
Three.
It looks like... No,
A5.
A5. It looks like about A5, yeah, what you mean from there.
A postcard
of dairy milk.
In a bowl.
And he had to be very careful with it because if you melt chocolate in a microwave, it can very quickly burn.
Mm.
So you have to nurture it. You have to sort of stay with it.
People like that now, though. People like, you know, burnt caramel, burnt, you know, like desserts. Yeah.
Not burnt chocolate,
again,
though.
Again, really? That's a solid that I now appreciate as an older person.
Yeah.
But my tastes were so much more base back in the day, so I was just a liquid fan.
How much sugar were you adding to the melted chocolate? Were you sprinkling some sugar in there?
Zero.
Now, that is a classic James Acaster question. He can't hear someone say something like, I melted some chocolate without thinking, well, surely you added sugar to it as well.
Yeah, that's what I used to do with hot chocolate as a kid. I'd come home from school before my parents got back. I'd put like as many spoonfuls of hot chocolate powder in the chocolate, a couple of spoons of sugar.
Yum.
Put it all together. One day, my dad came back before I'd finished drinking the hot chocolate. And I'd always have this like really dark, granulated like sludge at the bottom that I'd glug down and be the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah.
And my dad came in once and caught me before I drank that and got the mug off me, looked at it, he went, "You might as well have," he said to me, "you might as well have melted down a chocolate bar, James." But little did he know.
But when your dad says things like that,
yeah,
he means, why don't you melt down a chocolate bar now?
Yeah. James, you should have done this. I'm disappointed in you. We're putting love in family. If you want to melt down chocolate bars, just ask me.
If only we had been friends back then, I could have taught you.
We would have been such good friends, I think, as kids.
We would, yeah. I would have definitely bullied you a bit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can't pretend I wouldn't have liked it.
I would get back from school and eat some brie and watch Ricky Lake.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Brie?
I loved brie. Wow. James gets really annoyed that I like cheese and also imagines me as a very precocious, posh child.
Yeah, yes. I bet he's just watching Ricky Lake and being like, oh, look at those poor contestants.
Well, they weren't contestants,
were they? No, they weren't contestants.
Oh, that's why posh people view everyone else like
yeah.
contestants in the game of life.
Yeah, and they all lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like food, Joe? Are you a food head?
I love food. I'm a big fan of a nice dinner and a nice glass of something.
One of life's
great pleasures. A nice glass of chocolate and a block of Earl Grey ice.
Have you always liked food? Have you always been into it? Or was there a point in your life where you suddenly thought, I'm going to really get into food?
No, I've always liked it. But I've definitely I've got more adventurous with... I love spending loads of money on like a posh restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm like really... I don't... You know, I'm single, I don't have any dependents, and I earn loads of fucking money. So I've started spending it in really nice restaurants. What else is there to do?
What was the last really nice restaurant that you went to?
Kudu in Peckham.
Kudu?
Spelled K-U-D-U.
What kind of cuisine?
Modern European by a South African chef.
Lovely.
And it actually wasn't that expensive. And I went with the great writer and friend Rick Samada, who is a writer for The Guardian. He also wrote a brilliant book. And we do Joe and Rick's Peckham Picks, where we try out different Peckham-based restaurants, because I stay there when I'm in London and he lives in Peckham. And we really liked Kudu. What did we have? We had this incredible fish. And I can't remember what it was now. It was really tenderly done. Very nice bread that came almost like a Yorkshire pudding at the start, in like an iron dish that it had been cooked in. And then a butter that had little, what are the tiny little shrimps called?
Oh.
That sort of big, teeny tiny ones.
Yeah, I know the ones you mean.
Crabs.
They might be called shrimp, just shrimp,
mini
right?
Shrimp. Yeah, mini shrimp. Tiny with some sort of, I think it was almonds and then butter.
Oh, wow.
And it was just, and you just dip it sounds in and nice. Whoa, it was so good. Sounds and a beetroot really nice. Thing, a delicious dessert. Bless you.
Carry on.
Would you like a tissue? I've got some in my back
pocket. It's the oddest sneeze I've ever seen in my life.
I've got fresh boots. Balsam, is that how you say it?
You all right?
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. It says pocket tissues and then underneath, sniffles on the go.
Sniffles.
The worst thing you've ever heard.
Sniffles is not a good word.
Sniffles on the go. Hey, have you got any of those sniffles on the go?
The peck and pick sounds like a great thing.
What's the top peck and pick?
Yeah, what's your top peck and pick?
We've done two.
And how do you pick them?
I think we've done three, actually, but Rick argued against that last week when we were in Kudu. There was one.
Trouble in Paradise?
It starts with an L and it's sort of Frenchy. And we liked it a lot. We got very drunk.
Leon?
Could have been Leon. It's like everyone's going mad about it in Peckham. But we thought it was a little bit rich, a little bit fatty, but like really nice. Like it felt indulgent, but we both came away feeling quite heavy.
Right, yeah. That's not because ideally, how do you want to come away from a meal feeling? What's your
drunk, and not too slow, not too full,
not too slow.
Levan, it's Levan, yeah.
Levan,
our producer, the great Benito, knows everything that's going on in Peckham.
Yeah.
He's really got his finger on the pulse, on the Peckham pulse.
not as much as Joe and Rick's Peck and Picks.
No, obviously. Joe and Rick's
Peck. There was another one that we went to because there's so many good restaurants. The Begging Bowl is very nice. And actually, the Peck and Bazaar is so good. I think the Peck and Bazaar might be one of the best restaurants in the world.
I've never heard of this place.
I didn't know there was so much going on in Peckham.
There's a lot going on in Peckham.
What's the Peck and Bazaar like? What food?
Peck and Bazaar is more sort of platey, little platey things.
Little platey things.
And I haven't been for over a year, so I can't exactly remember, but I just remember leaving, feeling like it's very homely and really well cooked, like good stuff.
I had a meal like that the other day in Liverpool at a place called Octopus, which is spelled with a K. Loads of little dishes. Mm. All of them blew my mind. The popcorn mussels
were
a particular highlight. Delish.
Popcorn mussels?
Yeah. And also, I really enjoyed the treacle-cured salmon.
Mm.
So, shout out to...
Yeah, this was before a show, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I did it all
you,
before,
you
I ate it before a show.
You eat before a show like no one I've ever met before.
Yes.
Like, well, I can't eat that. I don't know about you, Joe. I can't eat that much before a show. I need to keep it light before a show. I can't feel full. I can't feel sick while I'm performing.
Yeah.
James will eat a four-course meal and then go and do a gig.
Well, yeah, you've got to understand, Joe, is lately my shows have felt like an execution. And so therefore, I may as well just enjoy my final meal before I go to put my head on the fucking block again.
As in, like, you've not been enjoying them?
Oh, man. Like, so many nights I get just people turn up shouting out. Bunch of absolute pig shits.
Mm. Yeah, but you bear in mind you're walking on stage with all food around your mouth and farting and burping. It's disrespectful.
I've actually started burping on stage.
So often, though, I find, like, our friends of mine will come to see you do a stand-up show and they'll be like, he was absolutely amazing, really brilliant. And then I'll text you with that information and you'll say, it was a piece of shit. Yeah. It's the worst night ever.
Yep.
And that's just not how it's being... That's not being how it's being perceived whatsoever.
I remember your parents coming to see me in Birmingham and me texting you afterwards, telling you to apologise to your parents for how bad it was. I said they would have hated it. It went so badly. And then you replied just saying, wrong! It really made me laugh.
Yet again.
Not taking it. Not letting me get away with anything. Wrong! Just completely editing your voice as well. Yeah. Wrong!
I respect that. You go and check out restaurants all over the country now, James.
Yeah, well, that is the best thing. Like, I've really enjoyed touring and finding, like, really good places to eat. I think the best place to eat in the country at the minute that I find is, I think Newcastle's got so many amazing places.
Mm. Really?
And Chucho's in Newcastle has the best tacos that I've had in Britain. It's this family-run place, and they did a haggis taco, and it was the best thing I've had on the whole tour. It was so good.
Wow.
We start you off with some water, Joe. Would you like still or sparkling?
Still, please.
Is that
straight in there?
There was
no rule. No messing around.
No, it's not. It's a new rule. Mm. I've now done 2 years hosting a show called The Great British Sewing Bee.
Mm.
And on the first day of the first recording, well, it's the day before the first recording, it's like our kind of like prep day, we went for a lunch and it was me, Patrick and Esme, the judges, and then a couple of the producers. And I drank a lot of fizzy water at the start of the meal, then had half a burrata and then spent the rest of the meal unable to eat because I felt really like I was going to vomit. And I drank so much fizzy water. I've since realised that actually it's a new response to anxiety that sometimes I can't seem to eat for some reason, which is really annoying. But I was obviously very anxious about the start of the recording.
Yeah.
But in my head, it was the fizzy water.
So, and now you're unable to break that link.
I'm unable to break the link. Yes. So it's straight to still. Otherwise, I feel like I'm back at that meal.
I
was convinced my first day on that show I was going to projectile vomit onto everyone else's burrata.
I do really like the combination of loads of fizzy water and then a burrata does sound like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like
just
you've got a stomach full of fizzy dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good idea.
Massive shout out to burratas.
Huge shout out to burratas.
Burratas.
They are changing the game. And Buffalo Mozzarella is weeping in the corner.
Burrata is up there with one of my absolute favorites. I'm ignoring about having burrata as my starter for the...
It would have been a great choice. I mean, you're right. Mozzarella's cowering now.
Oh,
mozzarella's shit, isn't it?
For such a long time, it was just running the show,
yeah,
resting on its laurels.
Oh, I've just realised that burrata is the liquid form, essentially. Isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
But it's halfway between, right?
Yeah. Creamy. Oh, it looks like
dipping bread into a burrata, particularly if they've done like a bit of oil around it, or maybe a bit of pesto or something.
Cutting into it. Mm. You pretend like you're doing an operation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. There's, you feel like you're Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah, yeah. Always. Ask the people to hand you your knife.
You know, you can buy now a block of like rubber that has pimples in it, and you can you alongside it comes this little pipette of like pretend
now
zit
and
stuff.
You fill it up and then you pop
it. You fill it and you pop it.
Now, obviously, there's part of me that is disgusted by that, but I'm disgusted at myself for wanting that. So
I really want it. Yeah. I really want it.
I go down massive YouTube holes of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah. Oh, no. And like bot fly removal as well.
Thank you. By the way, I know we're going to get tweets about this, and I'm sorry that you feel sick and you're listening to a food podcast and me and Joe are about to talk about popping pimples, but bad luck.
Yeah.
At least
you guys listening at home are going to hear the edited version. I've got to sit here and listen to this live, no matter what they talk about. It's just disgusted.
Don't deny yourself, James.
Do you not like the pimple popper stuff? My friend got into pimple popping so much that she now watches people having their legs amputated and stuff like that. She probably watches people have their fucking legs sawn off in operations because like that's how much she's into that stuff now.
I don't think there's a link between those two.
There was a lot of steps in between.
Yeah, say, not for the person having their leg taken off.
Yeah, yeah. But like that's where she's at now. So I'm not going down that. I don't want to find out that I like the pimples popped and then I'm watching horrendous stuff in years to come.
Do you like popping your own pimples?
Not really.
Right.
No.
You've got very good skin, so yeah, I imagine you don't. It's not something you have to worry about that often.
I've got a pop the odd pimple, and I don't enjoy it.
No.
I admit that when you get it good, it is satisfying. Yeah. Mm. When you get a good one, it is very satisfying. Mm. But then I still don't like the fact that now I've got this like red stingy mark on my face. I've got to walk around with it. So like the whole experience is pretty negative.
What, you think people are like, oh my God, James has really let himself go.
Yeah, look at him. He's still a teenager, isn't he?
Look at old burrata face.
On
yeah.
Mock the Week, and look at him now.
Exactly. That's true.
That's what everyone's saying.
Mock the Week gives people an unfair... Mm. Image of comedians.
Do you remember when you were on Have I Got News For You and I texted you saying how hot you looked because your skin looked so good and your cheekbones were unbelievable. Yeah,
and then James said, no, I looked ugly and you were wrong.
Yeah. Wrong!
You looked particularly fit that night.
That was very kind of you.
James always looks fit when he's delivering some hardcore satire.
Yeah.
To next, silence.
Yeah.
Next to a judgy Paul Merton.
To the bemusement. To the bemusement of some national treasures.
So it's not, burrata is not going to be your starter.
No, it's not.
No, pop it on bread, John!
Yes!
Yes! Of course Lysip would be the one who would have loaded in the cannon. Almost like you knew I was going to... Yeah. You obviously you knew that I was going to shout it at you, but it's like you knew I was going to do it then.
Yeah.
I tried to dummy.
I could feel it.
I jumped for the listener.
Yeah.
Right. Because you, in my defense, you clearly got to the end of a thought.
Yes.
So I was prepped then. I was like, I know what's coming now.
But that's why I tried to dummy you by talking about starters.
Mm. Yes. And you thought, maybe we've missed. No. But then you were ready.
So ready to go. So ready. Very impressive, Joe. Mm.
That was great. Mm. Also, I've always sometimes felt bad about making the person jump, but I just jumped then and I loved it.
Yeah, so it's good. Feels good, isn't it?
Yes.
They say that cold water swimming is very good for you because it gets you used to like being uncomfortable and being shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually really good for your mental health. So actually a bit of shock is good for you.
That's why I love horror films.
See, that's nice.
So cold water swimming, another point to liquids, I think.
Yeah.
Well, not if it's really cold water swimming.
Sure.
I don't know how you'd
swim. It's not swimming, though, is it?
It's not swimming.
That's walking.
It's a block of ice. And it is bread.
It is very much bread.
It'd be awful if the answer was actually poppadoms.
I'm not a fan of poppadoms.
Are you not?
Come on.
No.
No point whispering it into a mic, Joe.
I'm not a fan of poppadoms. You can still,
yes. Why?
What is it?
I don't like the consistency of them. I don't like that they kind of break all over the place and you've got little bits here and there that like you then can't dip. And I find it all just a bit, the admin of it is too much.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't like the shards?
I don't like the shards.
Mm-hmm.
There's a restaurant in Birmingham called Purnell's, which is Glyn Purnell's restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he came up with, because he thought that bread would often weigh people down before a meal. And as I've said previously, that's one of the worst things that you can have at the end of a meal, is to come out feeling sober and heavy. And he's devised this bread that is incredibly light and a butter that goes with it, so that you have like basically a loaf that sort of size, and you eat the whole thing and you don't feel full.
Oh, wow.
But it's delicious. And I think he's bloody done it.
Oh, wow.
Glyn has done it. He's made a beautiful loaf of bread.
Is it like white bread? Or?
It's a white bread.
Yeah.
And it's not got much of a crust to it, if I remember rightly.
Mm-hmm.
And it melts when you put it in your mouth. It doesn't like, it's not a chewer. It's like a just let it dissolve. But the kind of softest, warmest, loveliest bread you've ever had.
So it just is preparing the mouth for the meal ahead.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm. So we've been talking about solids and liquids a lot. Has this man created something slap bang in the middle of both of them?
Perhaps, yeah. It's the sort of burrata of bread.
Oh, it's
you're really pushing for liquids here, man.
Mm. I'm just trying to. Once I've like picked a team, I want to really back it all
the
way.
Yeah, yeah.
So people know.
trying to say that bread is liquid, liquid.
Joe picked a liquid for his water at the start.
Joe did pick a liquid for his water.
Out of the liquids. Yeah, out of the two liquids, I went with liquid, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah. That was good.
And it's arguably more liquid because fizzy water's got gas in it, hasn't it?
So yeah,
I went with the most liquid of the options.
You did.
You
that's
did.
True.
So once again, wins out.
So what type of butter comes with this bread? Because I would argue that would make it heavier, though, wouldn't it?
I think it was like a whipped butter.
A whipped butter. Oh, I do like it. A whipped butter. I like a whipped thing.
Yeah.
Anything whipped. I've just been for breakfast. I had some whipped feta.
Oh, lovely. How do you whip a feta?
Yes. I guess you just really got to go for it.
Because it would be arduous, I imagine.
Yeah, you really got to go for it.
Do they mix it with anything to whip it?
I wonder whether they mix it with a bit of, like, a cream or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just to,
I would.
Yeah, I would
if I was
with
them.
A bit of cream, yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you're just reconstituting the feta, aren't you?
You are.
Yeah.
And why would you do that, you prick?
Just have a slice of feta.
Have a slice of feta. Was that on an avocado smash, perhaps?
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Oh,
classic.
With an
London
egg.
Life. London life.
With an egg. Just living my London life.
May I just say, Ed, you just got read like an absolute book.
I don't mind being read like a book when avocado's the first chapter.
Yeah. Was there a poached egg on top?
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bacon on the side.
Sourdough?
No, rye.
Oh,
no.
Silly me.
Peckham rye.
Peckham rye, baby.
Someone was eating it, Peckham.
It was delicious. So we've got Glyn Purnell's cloud bread, may I?
Cloud bread. Cloud
I think
that's probably not far from how he describes it.
Yeah.
With whipped butter.
With whipped butter. With a bit of salt in the whip.
Oh, yes. Lovely. Lovely bit of salt in the whip.
Watch me whip. Watch me salt this butter. That's classic chin.
Whip my butter back and forth.
Now, I think these are references to songs I've not heard.
Yeah. You know Whip My Hair Back and Forth?
I don't think
by
I do.
Willow Smith?
Of course I don't.
I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth.
Oh, yeah, I've heard people say that before.
I feel like you've played that in a club night that I've been to with you as a DJ.
I haven't played that, but I've heard I whip my hair back and forth. But I don't think I've heard the actual song. I think I've heard someone
DJ much these days?
Not loads. Every now and again.
You're an excellent DJ. It's a waste of a good talent.
Yes, I should start doing it because I was going to say I enjoy it, but I do. I enjoy DJing when it's a comedian's event, like when you were there.
Yeah.
When I've done it when it's not comedian's events, people get...
It's grim.
People get angry.
Mm.
People come and complain that you're not playing
the consistent thing here
enough.
Is that you sort of don't like the public, really, do you?
Oh!
Yeah.
Make no mistake. I hate the public. This is my favourite thing that I do professionally because it's me, Ed, a friend that we've invited on, and albeit Benito.
And Benito's the public.
Yeah, Benito's
sort of halfway between the public. Benito's the burrata of people.
Mm. Yeah. He's a better version of the
silent.
Public.
He's silent throughout.
Yeah.
But judging us very much so.
Oh, he has to sit there now, so he's in my blind spot because... For a while, he was sitting where I could see him, and every time I was telling the story, he thought it was boring. Oh, you think you can read Ed like a book?
Yeah.
I read this guy like a bloody encyclopedia. I just see his face go, I'm editing this out, this is boring.
Or it's when you do like a bad joke and you see him write down to cut it.
Yeah.
That's awful. If you see him writing anything down, it's bad news.
Bad news.
I've seen him write down quite a lot of what I've talked about.
Oh, but he'll also write down the names of restaurants.
Yes.
Oh, okay. To put on the website.
Just to put it on the website so people don't ask him directly. Because otherwise, members of the public, because they're absolute fucking morons. we'll tweet the podcast going, can you please tell me all the places that you've mentioned? And then Benito's like, there's a page on the website.
I will say this very clearly now. Anyone that wants to tweet me asking what restaurants I've referenced, I will happily answer.
Yes, no, that's good. Good on you. Good man.
I immediately retract that, actually. Because I just thought about what a fucking headache that would be.
So your starter?
Well, this is the thing. Like, there's so many restaurants that I love. There's so many starters, mains, desserts, everything that I love. Yes. So it's almost impossible to pick. The bread was clear to me what to go with because it's the best bread I've had. But the rest, I've sort of just going to, when you ask me the question, I'm just what I land on out of about 10 different options is the one. Other than starter as well, actually, because starter is pretty clear in my mind. Okay. Well, could have been burrata, but it's not going to be burrata.
We've already had a shout out for burrata.
Yeah, we've given that an honourable mention.
Honourable mention. Mm. So what is your starter?
It is a restaurant in Birmingham called Zindia.
Zindia.
Z-I-N-D-I-Y-A. Benito.
Don't forget you can tweet Joe to ask him about that again.
Yeah.
Z-I-N-D-I-Y. Well, I can't speak now.
Yeah. If you want to tweet Joe and ask him how to spell it, but just one letter at a time. Yeah. You have to ask for each letter individually.
Yeah. Fucking hell, my Twitter's going to be a nightmare. I will be off Twitter from the 11th of December until the end of my life. They do. It's such a good restaurant, Zindia. It's really... It's like Indian street foody stuff, but there's so many Indian street food places that have opened, and a lot of them are dog shit. Whereas this is really the bee's Indian street food.
Some sort of bee would eat if it went to India.
If a bee went to India, it would.
And a bee's got the pick of whatever it wants.
That's true.
It can just fly around places, have a little nibble here and there, can't it?
Yeah, because if someone's like, ah, get off my food, the bee can always fake, you know, I thought it was a flower.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got confused.
Yeah.
You know, it's always you would believe it.
Mm. I'll never not believe a bee.
Yeah, I'd always be like, nah, yeah,
fair enough, bee.
Sorry, I thought it was a flower.
So, in Zindia,
yeah.
Unless you want to continue with the bee riff.
I think the bee riff felt like it was dying quicker than a bee would after it uses its sting.
No. Oh, I was just pollinating it. Gov.
Gov?
Yeah.
I'm glad we went back to the bee riff.
Actually. Yeah, that's what it would say. I just, sorry, Gov. I just thought it was a little flower. I was just doing some pollination.
Is it a cockney bee?
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. In India.
Yeah, in India. Going to find itself and some food, but there's none of things.
You must understand, in the bee world, the empire still reigns in India.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they're not colonizing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ants.
Oh yeah.
Shit. thought done a really good job there.
It's still pretty good, man.
Still kind of works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Still good if you don't know. If you don't know facts, works.
Very much how I approach all of my performances. Yep.
Also, that myth that I just did is very much the reason why Benito sits where he does now.
Zindia. Z-I-N-D-I-Y-A. They do a samosa char, which is a really nice, crispy samosa.
Yes.
And then a kind of chickpea sauce over the top. Then some sort of green thing, which is kind of creamy and takes a bit of the spice out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm salivating thinking about it. And then some pomegranate seeds, and then some like crispy, almost sort of Bombay mix kind of stuff on top of that. So it's like layers of really good stuff.
Now, Joe, can you guess out of all those ingredients, what's the one that I would...
Oh no! I thought I'd said the.
You have not said the secret ingredient.
Oh, not.
God.
One of them though has been a
secret ingredient
in the past. Can you guess which one it is?
Pomegranate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pomegranate or pomegranate seeds?
It's the pomegranate seeds. Yeah.
Right.
Oh. Do you like them?
I'm not a fan, actually. Mm. I mean, I don't mind them in that because they get hidden by the other stuff. But they get in the old teeth, don't they?
They do. They're weirdly crunchy. They're like little baby's teeth. I think they're weird. Yeah.
They're really
weird. It always
weird.
Says they're like little baby's teeth. It's all I can think about. Mm. I went to a restaurant recently where they had pomegranate seeds on a lot of things, but they worded it pomegranate jewels, and I did not like that.
No.
I was like, don't try and knock me off.
You may as well eat a jewel. Jewels. Yeah. They're that hard.
Yeah.
You may as well just pop a diamond in your mouth.
Yeah, crunch on that.
Mm.
But that samosa sounds amazing.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely delicious. What's in the samosa itself?
Just classic, like a lot of lovely sort of sautéed potato, I imagine, is the way they've done it. Oh, and it's totally vegan because I'm trying to be vegan in the week and then do whatever the fuck I want on the weekend. Just like eat a pig live. and I often order it alongside it, these soy tikka bites, which they've got like a chicken tikka and a lamb chop and whatever on the menu, but they've also done this vegan one, which is soy, and apparently they marinate it in soy yogurt, so it's actually much juicier and softer than chicken.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
It's like better than chicken.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, please. That's what I want to hear more of, is such that things moving in that direction food-wise. So they're going, okay, we're going to do vegan alternatives, but we're going to make them better than the original.
That's where
we want to head.
I've been to the restaurant with non-vegans and ordered the chicken tikka and the soy tikka, and the soy tikka always gets double ordered.
Well, chicken dries out so quickly.
It dries out.
Oh, speaking of which, I've been at Benito. I don't know if you've found this lately. We've had a shout out on the podcast before to corn cocktail sausages. Mm. Corn cocktail sausages are my favourite cocktail sausages. Benito introduced me to them. They're delicious. I think they're better than normal cocktail sausages.
Right.
Recently, very recently, they have changed the packaging so that they come in a different container. And I have found, I don't know about you, Benito, the standard has gone down and they've got drier.
They're bigger, but not as nice.
This is an appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where now suddenly I want the public on my side.
Yep, to the Quorn.
Start messaging Quorn and tell them to get it back on track because they have one of the best dishes in the world and now it is...
Is it a dish? Are we calling it a dish?
Yeah, and are we calling it the best in the world?
Yeah, me and Benito would eat a punnet each easy.
A punnet?
Hang on, a corn isn't vegan though, is it?
No.
It's not because it's got egg in it, hasn't it?
Veggie though.
They're not cocktail sausages, but I think they're the best vegan sausages by a country mile.
Oh.
Sainsbury's Shroom Alum sausages.
Oh, very nice to say.
Caramelised onion and pepper, I think the ones I've had. But they also do like a chorizo version. And I don't know how they've done it, but when I had my first sausage sandwich with them, I thought I was eating pork. They were so juicy and the texture was so perfect. Unbelievable.
I think caramelised onions are the key to those kind of, like, those, like, veggie sausages. It's so delicious.
Mm.
And
I love a Linda over a corn there. A Linda McCartney.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. I'm not familiar enough with all the brands, and so we said, okay. I love a Linda. I thought you meant a Lindor, like a chocolate thing.
Oh, I see. A Lindor sausage. That would be good, wouldn't it?
I was like, dude, you don't need to win me over. Absolutely, I prefer a Lindor.
Shout out for tofurkey sausages as well.
Oh, I've not had a tofurkey.
The Italian tofurkey sausage.
That good?
Very dense.
Mm.
Not really meat. They don't taste like a meat replacement. They taste like their own thing, but they're absolutely delicious.
Mm.
They really are. And shout out to pork.
Pork's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
The original? Sure. Influenced a lot of people, but your time is coming to an end. Pork.
Mm. I really wanted to know how many, at one point, how many horses there are in the world. I think it's something like 40 million or something.
Wow.
Why did you want to know this, Joe?
Well, I just got really interested in how many animals there are. Like, because I saw a statistic, which is something like there's three chickens.
There's more than that.
Or something for every person.
Oh, okay.
The three chickens.
They're just three chickens.
Yeah.
And no one ever realises it. Because you just don't ever... They're all very good at impressions. Doing different things. There's actually no such thing as a turkey. It's all those. It's often two of the chickens at once.
So there's three chickens.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend about this, and he asked possibly the most annoying question I've ever asked, because we then were like thinking how many like other creatures are there. And I was like, I wonder how many ants there are.
Yeah.
And he said, how many ants aren't there?
Preston?
That's a really annoying question.
Yeah. Was that Harry? Did Harry say that?
It wasn't Harry, actually.
It's I always guess it's Ben. Harry.
And I, because there is a, I do think there is an answer to that question.
How many ants aren't there?
How many ants could there possibly be? Like, how much of the universe could be inhabited by ants?
Well, infinity, surely. Infinity ants.
No, because the universe isn't infinite in size.
But it's constantly expanding.
Yeah, but right at this moment, there's only so many planets that could probably...
places as well.
So it's not infinite. Well, it's like there is probably a number of... I don't miss the joke. I'm thinking about how many ants there aren't.
Are you counting ants as being alive?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't let them stretch to space and die in space?
Yeah, yeah, no.
They have to be alive, so they have to be on a planet. On a planet they could survive.
Yeah. So that's the amount of potential ants there are. Then you have to subtract the amount of ants there actually are. And then you know how many ants aren't there.
Sure.
It's annoying. It's really annoying because there will be an answer. That's one thing. If you could tweet me with how many ants aren't there, I would really like to know the answer.
I think you'll get that wish.
Yeah.
Me and James ate ants once.
We did.
Oh, yeah, I've tried ants. They're like lemony, aren't they?
Yeah. They're very citrusy, yeah.
There's a fabulous restaurant, again in Birmingham, called The Wilderness. And for a long time, they had a cheese tart and they had ants climbing up onto the tart.
Wow.
And it got into, obviously, all the press. Birmingham Mail went wild for it. And
were they pro or anti? I mean, that wasn't a joke.
It's nice.
Very good, though, Ed.
Very nice.
Ed, I didn't mind it.
Come on. Not bad.
I think they were pro.
Yeah.
Rather than anti.
So they were anti.
So they were actually. It is funny.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Main course time. Now, this is where
I can see
you making a decision on the spot.
It's Birmingham again.
Which is great, by the way, because we get a lot of messages saying that we're too London-centric.
Mm. Yes.
And now we've got...
I send them all and here I am.
We've got two episodes now with good shout-outs for Birmingham.
You
and Jess Phillips.
Jess Phillips done it.
Jess has done it.
Jess Phillips. You interviewed Jess Phillips, didn't you? I saw you before it happened. You were hanging out with her son.
Yes. Yeah, he's wild. Love Danny.
Wild boy. Got a photo with him. Came his wallpaper on his phone.
He loves you.
Well, he's a member of the public, so...
I think he loves David Walliams more, but...
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
David Walliams is probably nicer to people that he meets.
Two peas in a pod.
Mm. Me and Walliams?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get in a pod with Walliams and swim the channel with him. Two of us together, like a big worm swimming across the Thames.
God, I would do so much to see that happen. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with, and it's a dish that's not actually on the menu anymore, but it's so indulgent and it's so rich and ridiculous, and it goes against what I'd said earlier about not wanting to feel heavy, but it's a restaurant called Original Patty Man, OPM, which is a burger restaurant.
Immediately, James loves the name.
Yeah.
I don't even have to look at him to tell you that he loves the name Original Patty Man.
Original Patty Man.
And I've got to say, I'm on board as well.
Yeah. OPM, one of Birmingham's finest.
And they recorded the song Heaven is a Half Pipe, of course.
Yes.
As well. Yeah,
they did. Yeah.
At least in heaven I can skate. Still, one of the things that makes me laugh the most is people saying they're going to heaven.
Oh, anyway, carry on.
The general public will not be going there, will they?
No, the general public won't be going there. No. But yeah, it's the Christmas special, so we might as well just laugh at the idea of heaven. Really love it, especially the idea of skateboarding in heaven.
I'm very excited to hear what the Original Patty Man have to offer.
I'm really excited.
So they are like the favourite burger restaurant in Birmingham.
Mm.
Do really like dirty... juicy burgers. They do a wings night on a Wednesday. Really great, like, vibe. They do like a table beer, so they bring you like a bottle of what looks like a wine bottle, but it's beer.
Oh, nice.
Absolute heaven. They did a burger, beef burger with cheese in a Krispy Kreme original glazed donut.
Oh my God.
Holy fuck.
I can't be doing with that, Joe.
No,
well, I can and did and loved it.
Really, you actually liked it?
Ed's already it. Ed's heard those words and slipped into a diabetic coma.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Poor guy.
Also, Ed.
Also, you know me, I'd eat it if I wanted it and I'd just inject insulin, right? But
yes.
But that's mad to me.
It is mad.
Ed, I'd like to make an apology, by the way, for talking about me and William swimming the Thames earlier.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think that
James thinks that I contracted type 1 diabetes when I fell in the Thames when I was 13.
Yes.
Yeah,
just that's a running thing on the podcast.
Okay,
well, it's a swimming thing.
I don't understand what has happened.
It's just
here.
How Ed got diabetes as he fell in the Thames.
And I'm not sure that's how it works.
No, it's not true.
It was what happened, and I feel bad about saying that me and Williams are swimming in the Thames.
It's not true. Now, every time occasionally I'll write an article with a slightly serious angle or do something for a diabetic charity, and all I get are responses to the tweet saying, "Is that because he fell in the Thames?"
Mm. Well, if me and Williams do swim in the Thames, that's what we'll be raising money for.
What?
Diabetes awareness.
But you'll but you'll get type 1 diabetes if you go in the Thames.
Yes. Well, that's raising money for myself.
And he didn't even swim the Thames. He swam the Channel.
He did the Thames as well.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he loves to swim.
Yeah, because he did the Thames and he got really, really ill. Because he got all the ticks and leeches on him and it was really sick.
He said he was like shitting as he was swimming, apparently.
Yeah. Actually, I know.
I didn't get type 1 diabetes from David Walliams' shit, James.
Oh, it sounds like he might have.
When did you get it? How long have you had it?
So 13, I was diagnosed.
Yeah, the dates don't match
up. The dates don't match up, and also the facts don't.
Well, maybe that's what Williams was getting sick off of then, when he went in the Thames.
Oh, what, the diabetes that you'd left in the Thames when you fell?
So I left some there, did I?
You left a little trace of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Enough to make that. It's not enough to give David Walliams type 1 diabetes. Nice. It was enough to make him shit himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just enough to make David Walliams crap his pants.
Mm.
Or trunks, actually.
Yeah. I think he's more prepared than that.
Yeah.
He doesn't just walk past the Thames. I will get in my pants.
Yeah, don't do it fully clothed.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a mad thing to do that, isn't it?
Mad.
Wasn't it to raise money?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's loads you'd hope of other ways to raise money.
Like, do a bake sale. Yeah.
Right, come on. You've got to sell this thing to me. Apologies. Because...
I mean, you can imagine. You can totally imagine.
Doesn't like the sound of this Krispy Kreme burger.
Do you like burgers?
Yeah, I love burgers.
Okay. Do you like donuts?
I'm sort of not. I mean, I'm going to cause so much trouble.
You've sent me photos of donuts that you've ordered to your house.
When?
Crosstown or something. You've ordered them to your house.
No, I don't order them to my house. Never ordered them to my house. I've had a crosstown before.
You've ordered donuts to your house and sent me a photo of them before. I swear to you.
I don't like donuts as much as a lot of people like donuts. Mm. People go wild for donuts. They're like, donuts are the best thing ever. It would never be my go-to.
Really?
Yeah.
But what we're having here, Joe, there's a running joke on the podcast that, you know, I don't like it when people choose a cheese board for dessert because it's not a dessert. I get really angry about it.
It's a funny joke.
You've flipped this.
It's a great joke.
It's a great joke, isn't it?
It is.
What's the punchline?
Just my anger.
James. Okay. Yeah, James. Well, if James, you listen to the Jess Phillips episode, James screamed in an elected MP's face. So
yes.
She'll like that.
She really enjoyed Jess it. To be fair, she really enjoyed getting a rise out of me. But this is the first time someone's flipped it, and I'm seeing it from the other side now, because you've essentially worked in a dessert into your main course, and Ed is not having any of it.
Well, no. I just think it's pushing things too far. I think it's the ultimate ends to this Instagram food generation. It's just, you know, but I just think it's all style over substance, Joe.
Piers Morgan, is that you?
I think it's man versus food. I think it's...
You weren't expecting Piers to be...
I wasn't,
around for Christmas, were you?
No. What a Christmas treat.
Yeah.
I think it's disgusting. I think it's absolutely disgusting.
No, you're
tell
absolutely
him,
wrong.
Tell him, Joe.
Wrong.
Wrong!
The Krispy Kreme donut is, I think, an engineering feat.
Yes.
It's a beautiful... The texture of the... what do you call it? The
donut?
The dough? The dough.
Yeah, let's go for that.
The flavour of the nut. is what, I don't know how they've done it, but it's like the Glimpernel bread. It's floaty and airy, and then beautiful glaze. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they've taken that, and to be fair, it's an impractical and impossible thing to eat because the actual donut itself crumbles to nothing.
Is it one donut cut in half?
Yeah.
So it's glazed.
Not two donuts.
That's two. Yeah.
It's one of the glazed ones.
Yeah.
I hate that glaze.
So there's like a little hole in the top.
Ugh, it looks horrible.
It looks horrible?
Yeah.
What do you think it looks like?
You know.
I love it.
Yeah. But, you know.
There's a reason it's called
donut. A lot of people love the glaze.
Yeah, it's very good. The reason it's called donut. Do you get that?
Very good.
Very nice.
I'm not anti that joke.
No.
Sorry, I thought if you said anti, it counted. No, not fair enough. Still, a lot of people like that glaze, Ed. And a lot of people like...
Yeah, they do. I know. It's just not my sort of thing.
Do you like sweet things in with savoury things?
Depends. Give me some examples.
Donut burger?
No.
Ham and pineapple pizza?
No.
When you put chocolate in a chilli?
Yeah, don't mind that, but it's very rarely sweet, is it?
Honey in a chili?
No, not bothered about it. I never had honey in a chili, actually.
Honey glazed sausages?
Yeah, okay, but I prefer an unglazed sausage.
Would you?
Yes.
Oh. He's holding up under scrutiny here.
Well, maybe we just agree to disagree on this.
I think we agree to disagree, sure.
Yeah, I don't want to force a Krispy Kreme burger donut, whatever it's called, down your gusset.
But
gusset?
No, that's gullet. I think gullet. I'm thinking of gullet.
Shoving it up your ass.
You should not be forcing a Krispy Kreme donut burger up anyone's
face. Yeah, particularly someone with type 1 diabetes.
Yeah. Sugar can get in every way.
He died as he lived, having a Krispy Kreme donut shoved up his ass.
I just think it's this whole, like, I think it's like a man versus food thing. And I think it's the same with, like, I don't like freak shakes or anything either.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know what a freak shake is.
Freak shakes are absolutely crazy, to be fair. It's like a milkshake, but with, like, a cake in it and a donut in it. And there's, like, a chocolate bar in there.
And it's all spilling over the sides.
No.
It's for the photo. It's for the gram.
It's for the gram.
It's not for the mouth.
And I appreciate what you're saying about the donut burger being for the gram. However... Joe is saying it tastes amazing.
I'm happy to believe.
So there's the. I guess sometimes there's the exception that proves the rule.
Sure.
I mean, they don't do it anymore, so there must be a reason. Maybe there wasn't enough demand.
Well, it sounds illegal.
Yeah.
It's probably it's why they stopped doing it.
Yeah. And all of their other burgers are excellent as well, so I would choose...
Well, they're the original patty man.
They are the original patty man.
They're going to be amazing.
So, yeah.
So, but so, you would choose that.
So it's just cheese. It's just cheese.
I think it was just cheese, and then yeah.
I suppose you don't need anything else.
It might have been like a relish of some sort, but like it was, it was mush basically by the time you ate it. It wasn't.
What was it called? The burger?
I can't remember.
Krispy Kreme burger.
Krispy Kreme burger, probably. Yeah.
And how was the burger cooked?
You can choose, and I just go medium.
Straight to the savoury part.
Medium,
fair.
Yeah.
Trying to get all the details for the savoury part of the dish.
The Krispy Kreme donut was uncooked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. Would they baked?
Yes. Baked, of course.
I don't think they
put it on the grill or anything. Grill.
Have you seen the Krispy Kreme donuts go through the conveyor where they get all the glazed?
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
The curtain,
to watch.
The curtain of glaze, and they just pass through it. I mean, you see all the waste as well.
Surely it's not wasted. It goes back into.
Yeah, I think it goes back in.
Oh, I don't know. It looked like waste.
Shout out to Bon Appetit, the best YouTube channel. And there's a series where a lady called Claire tries to make gourmet versions of like fast food, and she made Krispy Kremes.
That sounds like a great series.
It's great.
I'd enjoy that.
It's really good.
Never heard about this.
Have you heard of Kay's Good Cooking?
No.
That's the best YouTube channel.
Hit me.
Kay is a woman, I think she's in Derby, or she's got like a kind of East Midlands accent, and she cooks stuff for her son. And she, I don't want to be unkind. I've met Kay and she's really... she can't cook.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
She can't cook.
And the channel's called Kay's Good Cooking.
Yeah.
Love that.
It is extraordinary. She did a thing. The last thing she did was she did pasta, but in a different way. She did spaghetti bolognese, where she cooked the... she didn't cook the meat, actually. She made a meat mix, like some chopped onions and a bit of beef mince. And then she literally just got some strands of dried spaghetti and just... squeezed the beef around the spaghetti and then put that into a pan and covered it in tomato sauce, smashed that in the oven. and then it comes out and she serves it up and her son eats it on camera and literally crunches through pasta that hasn't cooked properly. And he goes, bit crunchy. She goes, try another bit. And he goes, oh, it's a bit softer in there. Yeah, it's all right. That's it. Kay's Good Cooking.
Oh, it's my favourite. I've never even seen it.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, because it's the Christmas special, we will ask you, as a little bonus round, what your ideal Christmas dinner is, or it can be the best Christmas dinner you've ever had.
I love a roast.
Yep.
I really like a roast. My friend David does the best roast potatoes, so I'd have the roast potatoes that he does. And the way he does them, he does the old boiling them a little bit to give them a little fluff. And then he puts them into the pan with really hot oil, turns them, and then smashes them on a really high heat in the oven for about 15 minutes. So they really crisp up. And then he turns it down so they slow roast.
Nice. For
oh, so good. So I'd have the potatoes done like that. Then turkey, I would just replace with any other meat because fuck turkey. Then sprouts, I'm not a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more into kind of roasty, glazed. So would you have like a glazed carrot, for example, with like honey glazed carrots?
No, I think I like roast carrots a lot, but I wouldn't necessarily glaze them. I think you get enough sweetness from a carrot if you roast it.
Well, my carrots that I grew in my garden this year were so sweet and delicious that they didn't need anything.
So I prefer a Lysett garden carrot.
Let's not skip over that. I didn't know you were growing carrots in your garden.
Yes, I did two types. I did like purple ones.
Yeah.
They weren't all purple. I don't know why some of them were, some of them weren't. They were massive. Mm. And then I did these ones called rondo carrots, which were round and kind of almost like radishes. The rondo ones weren't that flavoursome, but they were quite fun. So you could just, I did those with honey. But the big purple ones were outrageous. Wow. And that's so soft. The texture was, and they were so easy to do. Just smash the seeds in, just forget about them.
Yeah.
And just water them a bit. So delicious.
Wow. Really, I find that very impressive. Anyone who grows anything, absolutely. I find that very impressive.
I did radishes. Beetroot died a death. Cauliflower I've really struggled to make work because I really like a cauliflower.
Do you?
I love a cauliflower.
I like a cauliflower too.
I mean, I love a whole roasted one in recent years, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yes, back in the day, I used to hate cauliflower because it used to sort of make me think of like an old person's home.
Yes.
And now it makes me think
Is that because they cook it in old people's homes or does a cauliflower remind you of like an old lady's hair?
That's
a good question. I just remember going to an old people's home, the Funny Farm, where my nan and granddad lived. They called it the Funny Farm. And it always smelled of cauliflower.
Yeah, because they were boiling cauliflower and pureeing it, I guess. Probably, easy to eat veg.
Oh. Yeah. Into a jus.
Into a jus.
Liquids. Another point for liquids.
Another point for liquids.
Shout out to Berber and Q, where me and James went once, that do a whole roast cauliflower.
Yes, that was good.
With pomegranate, actually, I think, and like a tahini sauce.
Yes, tahini. They love tahini on it.
Delicious.
I've tried it a few times. I've never nailed it in the way that some restaurants do a whole cauliflower, and it's so heavenly. And the bang bang cauliflower in Wagamama is really good.
Best dish at Wagamama, I'd say.
So you can get some.
I say as well, though, with the roast cauliflower.
Quite sweet. I would argue quite sweet.
The bang bang. Yeah, it's got a sweetness to it.
Yeah, it's got a sweetness to it.
Look, I never said I don't like anything sweet. I just don't want a donut around my burger.
Well, more for you.
I'm interested in your friend's potatoes because there's always an argument over who does the best roast potatoes. I think everyone has got their person that they back. And as I was saying before we start recording, I was making roast potatoes last night because I cut my finger, and that's why I'm wearing a dinosaur plaster. I rarely make roast potatoes, but I made some for me and my fiance last night, and they were nice. I used goose fat instead of oil, and they were nice. They weren't necessarily, I think they were very crispy, but your friend's method sounds better. But we were eating the roast potatoes and I said, oh, these are nice, but they're not as nice as my mum's. And then there was a silence, and then my fiance went, oh yeah. I went, what's that supposed to mean? And she was like, well, my mum's are the best. And then we had a genuine moment of tension where we had an argument over whose mum's roast potatoes were best. And we nearly came to blows over it.
Wedding's off,
unfortunately.
That's it.
It's such a shame when a roast potato isn't good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Look, there's so much potential.
Mine were good.
So much. I think just so much oil, like loads of oil.
Yeah.
And rapeseed rather than olive oil.
Do you think?
It's got a higher burning point.
Yeah, and also imparts less taste. So you're just getting the pure potato flavour.
Yeah.
Really out of my depth on this conversation.
Loads of salt as well.
Yeah, I mean, salt's the key ingredient to everything.
Salt is good, isn't it?
I'm not anti it.
Christmas special. Done. Now let's move on to the more pressing matters.
I thought Christmas special.
Oh, cranberry sauce.
A Christmas special, Dennis. Who would do his potatoes? Any meat. Not Brussels sprouts.
Pigs in blankets.
Yes.
Oh, they're cute, aren't they?
Pigs in blankets, definitely.
I wonder if the shroomalim sausages with fake turkey bacon or whatever. What do they call it? Faken.
Faken.
Yeah.
Would make a good
pig in a blanket.
Might try that.
I reckon it would.
I made, there's a Christmas recipe for a stuffed squash, which is stuffed with lentils and cranberries and pistachios. And that was really nice as an alternative to a Christmas dinner. So top tip there.
If you did have to pick a meat now, if you were having to cook Christmas dinner tomorrow, what meat are you going with?
Turkey. Because I would want to please all the other people that were there.
Yes.
If you were cooking Christmas dinner just for yourself, what meat are you having?
Probably chicken.
Yeah?
Yeah, probably chicken.
Oh, yeah?
I like a roast.
I mean, you get a nice that's roast a bit chicken. Irresponsible. We've only got three of them.
Put the chicken through the glaze.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? That's what I'd like to watch as an ASMR video or something. Just different things going.
Absolutely obsessed. Yeah. Benito's quite rightly shaking his head.
Different things going through the glaze curtain.
Yeah.
James is fucking obsessed with ASMR, but now
David Walliams going through the glaze curtain.
Imagine him. Walliams just dressed in his like swimming gear. Just in his trunks, goggles and swimming hat, face down, with his arms in front like he's doing the butterfly. Just going through the glaze curtain.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yes, please.
That'd probably keep him warm while he was swimming the channel.
Yeah, yeah. Then he could swim the channel with a couple of glaze.
Yeah, it would sort of make him more slippery.
Sort of lithe and slippery.
Yeah, it would all just like, like water for ducks back.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get Williams on.
Put him through the glaze curtain.
Put him through the glaze curtain.
We can make that video happen. I bet we've got hookups now. We can get one of the others put through the glazed curtain.
Yeah.
That YouTube channel would do really well because I watch a lot of channels like that. Have you seen, there's one with like a, what do they call it? Like, it's not a pulverizer.
Oh, will it blend?
No, but that sounds amazing.
That's like an old school one where it's the blend tech blender.
Yeah.
And they just put loads of stuff in there and it was a dude who went, will it blend? And he put like a whole like iPhone in there and see if it would blend the iPhone.
I love stuff like that.
I can't think of anything that I wouldn't want to see go through that glazed curtain.
Mm, I can't.
I'm trying to think of stuff where it wouldn't be satisfying. I think absolutely everything I can think of going through that glazed curtain would be great.
Walliams would slip through there, lovely, wouldn't it?
Walliams yeah. would be so
there
good.
Wouldn't be, there wouldn't be a portion of Walliams that wasn't covered with glaze.
Yeah, a liquid would be
annoying. I think you'd have to flip him over and send him around another time.
Do you think? Yeah, no, you'd flip him over so to get
yeah,
the other.
Yeah, to get
the other bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Which bit are you putting in first? So which that, bit has got the actual finished glaze?
I'll put...
It's got to be the...
I'll put him tummy down first.
Yeah.
And then I'd flip him over.
Yeah.
And get the best of him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Would he be wearing goggles so at the end he pops the goggles off and he had two perfect circles?
Absolutely.
Yeah, skin. Lovely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd have him like Han Solo in Star Wars, trapped in the glaze.
I love you. I know. And then all the glaze all over him.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a direct quote.
Yeah, lovely.
Trunks on?
Improvised. Harrison Ford improvised that.
Trunks on?
Huh?
Trunks on?
yeah, trunks on.
Yeah.
Absolutely trunks on.
Yeah, it's, come on, it's a family show.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to put trunks on so we can all watch it happen.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
this
make
is
it
a director
happen.
I mean, I'm really changing my views on the public.
I feel like you're the sort of guy that can make this happen, Joe.
Yeah, surely.
I feel like that's the sort of thing you could do on like a BBC One Saturday night show. You could get away with it. Putting things through a glaze curtain.
Yeah. I mean, I've never met one.
The glaze, that's the game.
Yeah. The glaze.
The glaze.
The glaze, there's just different things.
Saturdays at 6 on BBC One.
They'd be so good.
Yeah. But what is the format there?
Just, well, that's it.
You I just think put people it's like supermarket glaze. Sweep. Mm. So there's a whole like, you know, room of stuff all on shelves and you're going around just grabbing all the stuff. And then you just put it all through the glaze curtain.
Mm.
And the one that's the most satisfying
wins. Yeah.
And the
people
audience
suggest
the audiences vote.
Three things.
On what the best thing
the glaze.
Was. Yeah. Of all the things that you raided and that you looted, you choose three things.
Yeah.
And then the audience say which one's the best one.
And then
one.
At the end, the whole audience gets put through the gate.
Yeah, yeah. They get put through it and their names flash up on the screen each time they go through. And where they're from.
What's the catchphrase? Send it to the glaze?
Yeah.
Yeah, send it to... Yeah.
Through the curtain it goes.
Does it glaze?
Does it glaze?
It's a nice object, but does it glaze?
Yeah.
And the answer is always yes.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah. Oh, I would love it.
Should we pitch this to BBC One? Do you think that's the one?
Yeah.
BBC One.
That feels
BBC
like the right home for it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think anywhere would be an idiot to turn this down.
Yeah, the glaze.
The glaze.
Mm. I'm right up for doing it. I'll cancel all other things to make sure
Thank
it
you.
Happens.
Oh, no.
As long as Walliams is the first thing through the glaze.
Walliams is every episode.
Yeah.
Every episode, Walliams gets glazed.
Walliams always comes out at the top and like he's the host. And then his feet get taken out from under him and he goes shooting through the glaze curtain and then you come on.
Yeah.
Great.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Also, I guess just because of how swimmers are, I'm imagining that Walliams has completely waxed his body.
Mm.
Like he's shaved his pits.
Yeah.
His
legs,
everything. And maybe even just completely bicked his head and got rid of his eyebrows and he's completely hairless and he's going through the glaze.
Yeah, he looks like...
He's removed all of his teeth.
He looks like he's just come out of the Matrix.
Yeah, he's just come out of the Matrix and he goes through the glaze.
Yeah.
The glaze curtain. Ooh. Benito, this is my favourite episode.
Side dish for your main meal now, Joe.
Well, you've got to have some fries, haven't you? You've got to have some fries with a burger.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but sure.
I won't get them from Original Patty Man.
Mm-hmm.
Soz Lads.
I'd forgotten that was called that.
Soz Lads. I went to Antwerp recently, and I went to a place that claims to have the best fries in the world. It's a place called Frites Atelier, I think is how you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the fries there. And I don't think I've had better fries anywhere else. And I've had a lot of fries in my life.
Very rarely when a place claims to have the best version of something,
will you actually come away thinking I was like, yeah, whatever, lads. Mm. And they were so good. At first, I thought they'd maybe made a mash and then they'd sort of put the mash into kind of fry shapes and then fried it.
Oh.
But then I realised that it was skin on. So I don't know how they've done it, but it was outrageous, the fries there.
So it was really soft in the centre and
soft,
fluffy.
And fluffy and crispy on the outside. You can choose what comes with it. So you can put like a kind of goulashy thing on top, or they've got some sort of Japanesey vibe as well.
I like the sound of the goulash on top.
Yeah, that's what I had, and just so good.
Is that what you want on your side dish as well? Do you want to splash some goulash on there?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They were so outrageously good.
You can't beat a good fry, can you,
No.
Especially, like, it is nice when there's a dish that you've had so many times and then you can still find the best one you've ever had. Because that's a very... There's loads of dishes like burrata, I love it. But I'd say I've probably only had it from, like, five different places in my life.
Yeah.
I buy it. I have it at home now, burrata.
Where'd you get it? I struggle to find a good burrata on the high street.
Well, if I ever find myself in Borough Market, I normally buy one.
Yes, of course.
You've got to go somewhere like maybe like a Whole Foods or something.
Okay.
Although, to be fair, I bought from a supermarket before a little smoked burrata, which comes in a little bucket.
A little bucket?
Well, it's like a little... It's like a little pot, but with a little handle.
I wonder if we can get a little bucket in as a catchphrase on the glaze.
Oh, yeah. And what will be the final
thing? That's one of the things that we send in. What's your final... A little bucket.
It's a little bucket. And the bucket would overflow with the glaze. Now, but do you want the bucket to be facing up or down?
Tummy down or tummy up?
Tummy down, tummy up. And I'm like, bearing in mind, you will fill the bucket with glaze.
Yeah.
If it is tummy up.
Maybe if you lose, you have to try and glaze Walliams only using a little bucket.
Yes.
You don't get to use the glaze curtain.
You have to use a little bucket. By hand, with a bucket, like he's a beached whale. Just throwing the glaze on him. Trying to keep him alive.
How little is the little bucket?
Oh, it's
the one that the burrata comes in.
Yeah, it's the burrata one.
There's no way you'll glaze the full Walliams.
No, that's going to take the full hour.
Yeah.
The twist is that Walliams needs glaze to survive.
Yeah.
so it's on the floor, writhing around like a beached whale. And you're just trying to cover him in the glaze.
Before the end of the show.
Yeah.
So you got the fries.
Got the fries.
Covered in goulash.
Yeah. And mayonnaise. I love a mayo. And they make their own mayo at this frittatelli, which was very nice as well. But I have found the vegan mayonnaise is nicer than normal mayonnaise.
Huge shout out to the Follow Your Heart Sriracha mayonnaise, which is vegan. Absolutely delicious.
Where's that from?
I've bought it in the supermarket.
What is a sriracha?
It's a hot sauce, like a chili sauce.
I see, okay.
Lovely hot sauce.
Yeah. Mm. So it's just like a really spicy...
Beautiful mayo.
Mm. And it's as good as any dairy-based mayo, I'd say. Delicious.
Another step in the right direction.
Yes.
Everyone's favourite, isn't it? A drink?
Yeah.
Liquid? Unless you're going to throw us a curveball here. You've already stuck a pudding into your main.
Yeah.
I have, yeah. No, I'm not going to throw a curveball.
No.
I'm going to throw a glass of crisp Gavi de Gavi into the mix. Either that or a pick pool.
So, this is wine?
Wine, yes. A white wine. Gavi. Okay. Gavi is a place in Tuscany, which I went to a couple of years ago to help a friend choose... the wines for his wedding, and we went around to a load of vineyards, and there wasn't one bad glass of wine in that place. I couldn't find a bad one.
Wow.
Very minerally. I don't know what they're doing, but I piss through Gavi. I'm a real glugger. I love it. I am too.
I often I'll look down, and you know, when you sit down, you're sharing a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And I'll be at the bottom of my glass, and everyone else is still.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll just sit while we have a conversation. It's like, well, I can have a chat and smash a glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the point?
I really, once I get going, I don't stop. And I have my kitchen done this year, and I've got a wine fridge, and it's full of Gavi and Pickpool and needs constant replenishment because I'm
elbowing out on this one. I like wine, but. I can't drink it fast. I find it's too much. It's too much.
Well, little pussy boy. Little pussy boy.
Yes. Well, I guess I am. Yes.
Can't glug your gavvy.
I can't glug my gavvy very well.
Glug your gavvy, mate.
I find it too rich wine to like really rich. Glug it. Yeah, wine's quite rich, isn't it? It's quite.
Are you thinking like a very deep red would be rich?
Deep red would be rich. Yeah, but even like a white sure. one's too.
I could glug a Chianti as well. No,
I'll smash it down, mate.
Yeah.
Well, you do a gluggers, but like I don't think I could do that with wine. I think I have
got
to be
a real
slow.
Thirst on.
Yeah, I don't think it quenches first.
We've been drinking a lot of natural wine, though, James. And we have a little glug of that, because that's very light. It's often lighter. It's less
like
alcoholic.
Ribena, is that
like really? A lovely old Ribena.
Do you know about biodynamic wine?
No.
The way to make biodynamic wine is mad. It involves moon cycles. You also have to bury an ox's skull beneath the where you grow the grapes.
What?
There's all sorts of really weird stuff that comes with it.
You don't have to.
Well, in order for it to be certified biodynamic, you
really?
Do, yeah.
You have to bury an ox's skull.
Yeah, literally.
Like, also, now...
It is mad.
Whenever I hear anything now, I just think... When you say about burying an ox's skull, I think, what a waste of something you could put through the glaze curd. Like, it'd be so much more satisfying to glaze an ox's skull than have
every
to bury
little
it in
bit
the garden.
It would be covered in
oh,
glaze,
it'd be so
it?
Great.
Oh, I didn't mention you have to pre-glaze it. Okay. Before. Sorry, that's,
I'm on board with it.
Otherwise,
now.
It's not.
So that's for dessert wine.
Yeah, that's great.
You have to glaze the earth.
Yeah.
All of the soil.
Yeah.
And it produces a very specific sort of beautiful red wine that is it's natural as well, but it's, and there's normally quite a lot of sediment, but it drinks like Ribena. And there's a wine grower called Jerome Jouret that does these amazing biodynamic wines.
Wow.
Oh, so good.
How, where did he get his ox skulls from?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Mm.
But I think it must be something to do with the minerals in the skull or something.
Okay.
I imagine a lot of it's nonsense, but then a few of the things that they do actually produce.
Sure.
And they say that the smell of a biodynamic wine, and often a natural wine, is off the farm, which basically means it smells a bit shit. Like it smells pooey, and that's because it's earthy and it hasn't had sulfites and all of that.
I love it. I'm getting a bit obsessed with all of that sort of.
I love it.
All of that
really?
Sort of wine.
Yeah. It smells like poo.
Shout out to Gnarly Vines, my favourite wine shop.
Where's that?
Walthamstow.
I really recommend, it's my favourite restaurant in the world, and they have a brilliant wine selling thing. What do you call it? They've got a merchant?
Merchant?
Called 40 Maltby Street. It's in Bermondsey.
I've heard of 40
it's
Maltby Street.
A really lovely restaurant. Really incredible food. And basically, if I wasn't doing the choices from here, I'd just go with whatever they had on the menu.
Right, okay,
that's my favourite. It could have been a very quick podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry if this has been too long, because I could have made this.
Normally
real.
People just say one restaurant said, and then leave again.
Yeah, I just go to this place. See you later. We reach the course of kings, the dessert course.
Mm.
Now, I'm kind of hesitant about this, because I think because you've put a dessert in your main, it makes it less likely we're going to get a dessert here. Like a proper sweet dessert.
Mm, good point.
And
you're absolutely right.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh. And I'm...
Is this a Birmingham thing? You and Phillips getting together?
No.
Phillips had a cheese course.
No, it won't be a cheese course.
Okay, good. At least it's not a cheese course.
And I'm toying between three things.
There's genuine struggle going on here, isn't there? James has just opened a mango smoothie that he's threateningly been holding for the whole record.
Yeah.
It's not a smoothie, it's a kefir, actually.
It is, but now...
Well, it's a kefir smoothie, I think you'll find.
Well, it's quite sweet, and because...
I take it back.
Because Joe just threatened that this won't be sweet, I've put some sweetness in my mouth
so
that I can at least escape to that.
I thought you were going to angrily glaze yourself.
It will be a bit... it will be a bit sweet. I've decided.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bowl of Special K with Oakley barista milk.
What in God's name?
Special K, Oakley barista milk.
Bowl of cereal.
No sugar.
What the fuck is the matter with you? How can you have a Krispy Kreme burger and then your dessert is just a bowl of cereal?
Yeah. I fucking love cereal, James.
I've got nothing against cereal whatsoever, but the fact that it's your dream dessert is a bowl of Special K. Also,
No sugar.
Even if it was just a cereal round, Special K I'd be kicking off. That's your favourite cereal. It's a bowl of Special K. Is it even the berries Special K?
No.
It's just plain Special K.
And the other two choices were Weetabix or Bran Flakes.
You got the best one.
Good God. Good God almighty.
I was really umming and ahhing, because currently I'm doing Bran Flakes are my cereal of choice, just because I'm trying to be a bit healthier.
Yeah, sure.
But fine. I've actually fallen deeply in love with Bran Flakes. So Bran Flakes.
So you wouldn't want that as your dessert, would you? No. Get rid of the thing that you're deeply in love with and choose the Special K.
Well, no, Special K feels like a treat.
Mm. Right. Well, that's what
it is. A treat, and it pairs very well with a gavvy.
It does pair well with a gavvy.
How is that a treat?
It's so nice. I love cereal.
You've just had a burger donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a point.
And now a little treat, some Special K for myself.
Yeah.
It's indulgence.
It's rehydrating because it's all of the lovely milk. And that's a key part of it as well. It's the Oatly Barista Edition milk, which is posh. That's a posh milk. It's hard to find.
Sounds delicious.
Fine. You've got some posh milk.
Yeah.
On your appalling cereal choice.
What? Why is Special K appalling?
Look, I've gone through Special K phases before, but not because I like it, just because I'm trying to be a good boy.
I should clarify, by Special K, I do mean ketamine.
Apologies. Yes, absolutely fine. The milk is now an odd choice, but fair enough.
What, does that go better with an almond milk?
Yeah. It's really strange.
I honestly think that people are deliberately trolling James now, and I'm here for it. I love it.
No, it's not.
Has Benito started emailing people before they come on, going, for a laugh, don't choose a pudding?
No.
And if you can even tease early on. The fact that you've come on here, said you used to eat melted bowls of chocolate,
yeah,
then put a burger inside a donut. So absolutely, just had me going the whole way, like, here we go, we're heading to Sugar Town. And then you're like... Yeah, and a bowl of crappy cereal.
Unless you suddenly twist this and you put that whole bowl through the glaze curtain.
Yeah, that's the only thing that can save this. Belly up, please. Belly up so it all fills and all the milk, all that posh milk just oozes out and gets replaced with glaze. And then you can
each
eat
individual crisp of K is covered in glaze.
All covered in glaze.
You've come a long way from the little Joe Lycett who used to eat bowls of melted chocolate to a little Joe Lycett eating Special K in a bowl.
Yeah, I have. It's been quite the journey.
Yeah, sure, it's a nice narrative arc to the show.
Yeah.
But what a sad ending.
I love it.
No, it's like... I don't like
it. What were you what were you hoping from me? A sweet dessert?
Oh, yes, an actual pudding. Weirdly, Joe, I wasn't expecting a boring breakfast from you for your dessert.
Well, it's exactly what I would want after.
You would want
everything.
A bowl of Special K with some posh milk on it.
I always want a bowl of cereal after I've had my mains.
Do you eat cereal before bed?
Yeah,
fair enough, I'll do that.
Breakfast at night, classic Birmingham.
Very rarely
breakfast
have.
Breakfast at night.
Yeah, everything at night.
Yeah, again, with Jess Phillips on it, she had breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
And now you've done this.
Yeah.
You put breakfast in a different place as well. This is what Birmingham's like, we're learning.
Yeah.
Do you have, because we never have discussed cereal on the podcast before, do you have a special bowl that is your favourite cereal bowl that's like massive?
Yeah, sort of. I used to when I was living with mum and dad, but now I've got this sort of weird mix of bowls where none of them are quite right, and I either don't have enough or I have far too much because I can't measure it. Sometimes I get through about three quarters of the bowl of Bran Flakes and think, I've had too many Bran Flakes now.
That's a bad feeling when you realise you've overdone it.
Yeah.
And you know, toilet time's going to be tricky.
Toilet time is going to be quite the fireworks display when you've had too many Bran Flakes.
Producing your own glaze curtain out your butt.
Didn't need to say out your butt there, but...
Huh?
Didn't need to say out your butt.
Slightly superfluous. Yeah.
Still nice.
Where did you produce that glaze curtain? At my butt.
Out my butt.
Right, let's hear the order, please, James, with that wonderful pudding edition.
Oh, no. Water. Still water.
Mm-hmm.
Bread from Purnell's in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Cloud bread. Starter. Samosa chart from Zendaya.
Z-I-N-D-I-Y-A.
Birmingham with the soy tikka on the side. Main. Burger with cheese and a crispy cream from the original Patty Men in Birmingham. Christmas dinner. Not turkey. David's roast potatoes. Pigs in blankets. And some cranberry sauce.
And also turkey.
And then chicken. Yeah, and then turkey or chicken.
Chicken through the glaze.
We went for a lot of, was all, I think we established that was all going through the glaze curd.
Yeah.
Side dish. Frites, Attilia, fries from Antwerp with goulash and mayo.
Mm.
Drink, Gavi Gavi, white wine.
Very cold.
From Gavi Gavi.
Very cold. Gavi de Gavi.
Gavi de Gavi. Sorry.
I think that just means Gavi from Gavi.
Gavi from Gavi.
Mm.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm.
And does I still can't, even reading it, I can't believe it.
Mm.
It's like a book that I've read and I already know the twist.
Mm.
And then I read it again and go, somehow still catches me off guard.
Yeah.
Special K with Oatly barista milk. I
think that's a really nice, fresh way to end the meal.
No, you don't think that.
I do.
There's no way you think that.
It's a really, really refreshing, cold
yeah,
barista
refreshing.
Milk.
Lovely, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Just lifts the meal. Because if you don't want a rich dessert after you've had all those nice...
I think I would have accepted just a bowl of milk more than with the special cat.
A bowl of milk?
Like a cat?
Yeah, like a little cat.
A little bucket of milk?
Yes. I would rather fill a cereal bowl with some oatly barista milk, put it on the floor and let you lap it up like a little cat. Then give you a bowl of special K at the end of that meal.
Is it upsetting to you that of all of the things that you just said, the one that made me now want to go and eat is the special K? Like, that's exactly what I want to eat.
Yes, that's far more upsetting.
Mm.
It's very upsetting that that has been the thing
I'll
that you want.
I'll take that
now.
Over the rest right
out of
now.
All that. I would
just a bowl of special K.
Personally, I would go for the samosa or the fries immediately now.
Mm. I think I'd eat the cereal, you know.
Right. Mm. Well, you two deserve one another. You both got to eat the special K cereal, the oatly barista milk. Benito, what do you want out of all that? The cereal. Well, yeah. Well, look, do you know what? I can't believe all three of you are going for the special K out of all of that.
And also, I'd probably have the special K in a public place around the general public. Just so I can.
That's the only bit I'm fine with.
All right.
I'm fine with you. If you want to go and eat that in front of people, fair enough.
Mm.
And see what kind of attitude, see what looks you get.
Also, I would let the special K sit in the milk for a little while as well, just so it gets a bit soggy.
A bit soggy. Get all the flavour of the milk in there.
Yeah, lovely.
Oh, that flavour.
Mm.
Flavour Town, a bowl of special K.
Delicious.
Really good.
Delicious. When
fortified with vitamins and iron.
What? That's not a pudding?
Mm.
When you mush down it, all the milk squirts out of the flakes.
No way. I don't want my desserts to be fortified with vitamins and iron.
Mm.
I want my desserts to be fortified with sugar and good times.
And that's why you'll never be a big, strong boy.
Yeah. Look at you.
I'll be a happy boy.
Weak little prick.
That cannot be the last thing said on the episode, Benito.
Thank you very much for listening.
No, it can't be weak little prick.
Thank you. Joe Lycett there.
Such a roller coaster. A lot of sugary treats for me along the way, but what an absolute disaster at the end.
I love it, mate. I tell you what, you've really taken an absolute beating this series, haven't you?
Series 2, it's like everyone's just like ganged up against me. I can't believe it.
I love it.
Someone pointed out to me that I let Sophie Duca get away with having a whiskey for dessert, and I'm actually quite annoyed that I let her get away with that.
No, it's all, but that's all proportional, isn't it? Because you let her get away with having a whiskey because we've had people like Daisy Cooper, who have had a Pizza Hut salad.
Okay, moving on.
So
moving on.
If that's what we're working with, a bowl of Special K is better than a Pizza Hut salad, right?
Sure, it's better than a Pizza Hut salad, but still, I can't believe it. I thought I knew Joe Lycett. Starting off with a bowl of melted chocolate and making me think, here we go, Flavour Town.
Yeah, just I can't believe you're still being reeled in by people.
Yeah,
you're still being tricked.
He absolutely reeled me in. I feel like hook, line, and sinker. But at least he didn't say red currants, eh?
Yeah,
we would have kicked him out.
Thank the Lord. And I think some special K's you get with berries, and there might be red currants in there.
Oh, I would have loved that actually. Imagine it if he had said special K with berries. I'm like, what kind of berries are in there? Red currants. Fuck off. And then chuck him out right at the end. Bad luck, mate.
Well, Merry Christmas to you all out there. That was a special Christmas episode. Me and James are people in the world. That's our plug.
Sure. We're going around doing stuff all the time.
James got a book, which I highly recommend. It's called Perfect Sound Whatever. It's available to buy. The perfect Christmas gift.
Oh, that's so kind, Ed. Also, Ed Gamble has a special called Blood Sugar, which is on Amazon.
It's on Amazon, yeah. You can't really get that as a Christmas gift. It's not a physical
thing.
Buy someone a subscription to Prime Video, and then you can watch Ed Gamble Blood Sugar, as well as an array of other content.
Yeah. Also, The Great Benito runs our Twitter account, Off Menu Official, and you can tweet him and say Merry Christmas to him, because he's done a real great job this year.
He has. Merry Christmas to Benito.
I'm sure he'd like a Merry Christmas.
He would. He's done a lovely job. Maybe a picture of you doing a thumbs up, smiling, yes, saying Merry Christmas, Benito.
Also, what we would really like to see this time is, you probably don't have access to a glazed curtain yourself, but if you can do a makeshift one yourself,
yeah,
and just try and film yourself going through your homemade glazed curtains, yes, we would love to see those videos for Christmas.
Or just a mock-up, maybe build a small working glazed curtain and put a sort of scale model of David Walliams through,
yes,
it.
Yes, like a little model of David, and then feed him through it on a conveyor belt.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh wait, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.